There was a couple which came to the therapist for help. The wife complained about the husband that he doesn't take out the garbage. So the therapist told the husband, take out the garbage. Simple solution. Came back a year later. The wife complains that the husband doesn't take out the garbage. Therapist says the solution is take out the garbage. Come back a year later with the same conversation. Obviously, that the therapist is not doing his job, because the problem isn't taking out the garbage. Because if it would be, the solution is very obvious: take out the garbage, and he would do the solution. We sometimes have the feeling we come to the Yom and the Royim and we have the same conversation. We have certain problems which we need to do. Okay, start doing them. Fix them. Yeah, we're going to fix them. Yeah, we're going to change. It's going to be different. Come next year, we have the same conversation with ourselves. And then about the same problems. The same garbage. And the solution is just take out the garbage. Right? And then we come the next year and we have the same conversation with ourselves with the same garbage. So the answer is that's not the problem. If we're going to solve the problem by just saying, well, just stop doing what you're doing wrong and start doing what you're doing what you need to do right. And we know what that is because we have the same Kabbalah's list from last year and from 2 years ago, from 3 years ago, from 10 years ago. So that's not the answer. So the therapist isn't doing his job. So in Kippur, we make a list of details. The things which we wish we had done right, we didn't do right. The things which we should wish we had not done wrong, which we did wrong. And that's very important to focus on that. You need to focus on the details. But if we don't put something else in place before we address the details, which, if we're honest with ourselves, the details seem to have a pattern with the same problems year after year, we can't go to Yom Kippur to discuss the details until we go to a Rosh Hashanah, which talks about something else totally. We're going to start saying Viduyim, the Slichus. They're not specific Viduyim, the specific Viduyim are much more on Yom Kippur. But the concept of a Viduy means we're making a list of the things which we did wrong. And we know the problems we did wrong, but the problem is our goal is not just to make a list of things we did wrong. The goal is to change. The goal is to do tshuva. The goal is to become a different person. Rosh Hashanah is what offers us the opportunity to change that. And if we don't do that, the vidui doesn't work, because the vidui is a chelik of a process of tshuva which we need to address. So maybe we can try and understand a little bit what's the deeper problem, and see if we can touch into that a little bit, and maybe if we can do that, maybe this year we'll start taking out the garbage. So pasuk in this week's parsha, fascinatingly enough, the Rambam understands it the way the Vel says it over. It's not shot in the pasuk, but that's how the Rambam understands it. The Rambam understands it like that. Famous pasuk, Tachas Asher Lo Batas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Lev Lav Merov Kol B'Batas Hayibecha B'Eirim B'Chayser Kol. You're going to, now if you look at the Targum, which is that Pshat, like Rav Aaron said this morning, Pshat Apichazal is Targum, in place of that which you had opportunity to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when everything was wonderful, B'Simcha B'Tuv Lev Lav Merov Kol, you didn't use that opportunity to do that, so the Barshan says, fine, you're going to lose your opportunity, you're going to go into Golus, you're going to have these nations being Meshabed, you're going to lose everything you have, and you're going to have to serve your enemies. That's Pshat in the Pasuk. It's not describing why you've done what you've done wrong, in the sense of because you didn't have Simcha, it's saying you had opportunity, you had a beautiful life, it was Simcha, Tuv Leva, Rav Kol, and you could have served the Kodesh Baruch on that opportunity. Instead, you blew it, you wasted the opportunity, and therefore you're going to serve your enemies in horrible under horrible circumstances. That's Pshat in the Pasuk, because they state in Targum. But that's not how the Rambam understands Pshat in the Pasuk. He says that Simcha, I'm going to guess that this morning in Yesodei HaTorah, B'Samar, Aaron chose that piece, if he did, right, this Chazorah, which is exactly what we need to do. Rama understands it means Tachas due to the fact that you weren't the Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Simcha. Simcha B'Avodas Hashem is an Iker Gadol, it's a tremendous avoid in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kuzari talks about how Simcha is a part of Avodas Hashem. But the Rambam understands this Pasuk, the Pasuk is saying why. So, means this Pasuk all of a sudden changes from being part of the Klala to explaining why the whole Teichacha is there. So the whole Teichacha is there because you weren't Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Simcha. So we take out our knitted yarmulkes, say na, you know, and we start dancing, and now then everything is wonderful. Right? What's so bad about you're not a Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Simcha? It means let's touch it up. Have a person who's makbid on halacha. He learns halacha correctly, and he's makbid on halacha, and he's careful about davening, and he shows up at davening every single day on time, and he says all the words the way he's supposed to according to halacha, and he does all, he puts on, he spends a tremendous time taking care of his tefillin because it's halacha, and he sits his alpi halacha, and everything alpi halacha, and he learns 12 hours a day, but since he wasn't a happy person, wow, the Mershon that says we're going to wipe out Klaus, we're going to send them to Golis, Goy, Yas, Ponim, they're going to eat Motzer, Motzer, why? Because, you know, you didn't dance. Like, what does the Pasuk say? What is Simcha? Marsha Schwab, and he writes this aura in his Sefer Marchi Lev, he says, Simcha is a state of being where you don't feel conflict. If you think about the days that you felt happy, first of all, we're not talking about rejoicing, we're talking about happiness. Happiness, Webster's Dictionary give you it's a state of feeling of contentment. The days that you feel content, it means you felt that there was no part of you which pulling you in a different direction. So the kid who goes to the amusement park and his mother lets him buy whatever he wants and he can eat all of the cotton candy that he wants and all the hot dogs that he wants and go on every single ride that he wants. There's no part of him which is pulling him a different direction. So he's happy. He's not necessarily dancing. He's not rejoicing. He's happy. He feels contented. A person that goes through a day, the day works out the way he really wants it to work out, he's happy. If the day doesn't work out the way he really wants it to work out, he's not happy. And those words are very important words. If the day works out the way he really wants it to work out, he's a happy person. Really wants are the very, very important words. Because we have to know what we really want. And if we're not happy, that means it's not what we really wanted. When the day works out not the way we wanted to, we're not going to be happy. If there's some part of me is pulling in a different direction other than what I'm doing. So if this person is doing all of the mitzvahs and he's not happy, it means it's not what he really wanted. So why is he doing it? A sense of responsibility could give many different reasons, but there's part of him which is saying, I don't want this. Because if his real being said, I want this, he'd be a happy person. He's doing what he wanted. So we have to be makir. If a person sits down by Seder and he learns the whole Seder and he's not happy, it means he didn't really want to learn. Because if he really wanted to learn, he'd be happy. So if we're honest with ourselves, that if I daven every single morning and I don't feel happy after davening, I don't feel content after davening, it means I didn't really want to daven. If I put on tefillin every single day and I don't feel a sense of happiness when I put on tefillin, it means I didn't really want to put on tefillin. Because if I would, I'd be happy. Now that's a major indictment. The Rosh says to Klal Yisrael, listen, you were avad Hashem lekecha. But it was b'simcha, it wasn't b'simcha matuv levav me'rav kol. V'avad hashem lekecha, so now the Rosh is asking me, I'm sorry, that it's not what you really want. So we're missing something. So Chazal say that what's Mechaser Kol? The Moreh Nedarim says that what is Mechaser Kol, which is the Einish, the next pasuk, it says Zeh Hadas. That what's a person? Somebody, I don't know how many years ago, made it into a song, so now people know it. You know the lip works, and they know the Gemara. If you have Do, if you have this, if you have Das, you have everything. If you don't Das, what do you have? So, if that's the Chaser Kol, so the pasuk before is the Rav Kol, is also talking about Das. Das is the state of being where what I learn, the knowledge that I have, then becomes part of my being. We know there's three stages in acquiring wisdom. There's Chochma, there's Bina, and there's Das. Chochma is knowledge. Person opens up a sefer, person opens up a secular piece of knowledge, and he reads it, he has information. That's Chochma. Okay? So I know a fact. Bina, I understand it. It means I understand why it's so. I understand the yesod. I understand what's making this the reality. So then I can extrapolate. I can be mavin davar mitachdavar. I can make a binyan out of it. So it's bina, because it's not one isolated fact. Now it's a piece of. It's not just a piece of information. This is now something which I understand its root. That I can apply it to many scenarios. That's havana. That's what it means to be made in something. That's havana. Das is when I take that, now that I understand that what it's really saying, and I make it part of my being. Amisachet, it becomes part of me. When it's part of me, it's the Torah describes the act of a chibur between two things. It's v'yeda adam eschava ishtay. It's referring to a physical maisa, but there's many people have physical maisa which don't connect. But when you truly get each other, you really understand, then you connect to something. And that's the next stage. The pasuk seems to be saying that there's so much karl out there, there's so much das out there, and you just didn't get to do that. We have so much information, and we don't absorb it inside. It doesn't become part of our being sometimes. And if it doesn't become part of our beings, so we know that we don't have a suffix that Bereshit created us. We don't have a suffix that Bereshit created us for a purpose. We know that. We have that Chochmah. Maybe we have that Bina. We know the Bereshit loves us. The Bereshit wants the best for us. We know that Russia put us in this world for a limited amount of time. We know all of those facts. But if they become part of our being, and then the Russia tells us that the only Torah in the world is Torah Mitzvahs, if that becomes part of our being, if we find a way to make it part of our reality, so then we'll be happy when we do it. Because man, we know b'seichel, but it hasn't become part of our being. It hasn't went from the seichel to the lev, as the lashon of the Bali Musar used. So the seichel knows that, but that's not what the heart wants. Now, sadly enough, the reality of us is we make most of our decisions based on our heart, not on our head. I'm not a major maven, but as far as I know, the advertising, the multi-billion-dollar industry called advertising, very rarely uses chokhmah to sell something. Why? If we were such intelligent beings, we made all the decisions based on chokhmah, right? The multi-trillion-dollar business, probably now, is whatever it is, right? Any person who's running for office, he gets up there and he tells you all this information. Really, right? Really, that's not what he does. He makes a catchy slogan, and they say it 17 different ways. And there's people who make a lot of money figuring out what colors you're supposed to write it in, because colors make a difference. I mean, we are absolute fools, and they take advantage of us all the time. Which means that the here is not where decisions are made. Here is where decisions are made. That's a very powerful, very important piece of information. So the makom of das is not in the head, it's in the heart. When the moment it becomes part of our being, it means that our heart is now beating that tune. When the Bali Musar talk about the Musar, that a person should learn Musar, he should chazer over something multiple times with a nigun. The Rishon Salanter was betzem predicting the advertising industry, constantly reviewing the same points in short statements with a tune, till it goes into your heart, so it becomes part of your reality. Right? The only difference is Rishon Salanter didn't patent it, then he didn't make billions of dollars on it for. Now, I grew up in a yeshiva where they had a Musar Seder. And they actually learned Musar during the Musar Seder. And I had my rebbeim sitting there learning the Musar, and the yeshiva gifter would learn Musar. And he would learn Musar Seder, the Geras Ramban, and the Geras of Kivagar. Kivagar had a Geras about Yamamisa, Yamamavis. And he learned the Geras Ramban for one day, and the Geras of Kivagar the next day, and the Geras Ramban the next day, Geras of Kivagar the next day, and the Geras Ramban, the Geras of Kivagar. And he gets from Ban, he gets from Kivagar. Every single 6 days a week. 3 days a week he learned from Ban, from Kivagar. Now, during a 20-minute Seder, the Geras from Ban is not very long. He would say it with a Nigan, he would chazer it with a Nigan, and then he'd finish, he'd chazer again with the Nigan. And then he'd chazer again with the Nigan. That's how you're supposed to learn Musar. So Rav Olber writes, yes, you have to learn Musar, you have to understand what you're saying, you have to think about it, there's an element of Chochmah involved in it also, because the Seder is Chochmah Bina and Das. But a lot of us, we have a lot of Chochmah, we have a good element of Bina, but we never understand the Das part. So the person comes, we go to the therapist and he says, to the husband, he says, we came with this problem. Take out the garbage. So the answer is take out the garbage. She says, yeah. Comes a year later, this is a problem again. Take out the garbage. The answer is he doesn't want to take out the garbage. Because if he wanted to take out the garbage, we wouldn't be back by the therapist again. If the whole problem is, wife says, I don't like my husband to take out the garbage. And the husband says, yeah, I'm going to take out the garbage. And then he don't take out the garbage. The Russian says, every year we have kids, we say, take out the garbage. So, yeah, we take out the garbage. We don't take out the garbage. Because we don't want to take out the garbage. We're very happy where we are. Are we really happy where we are? We're not happy where we are either. Because that much chachman bina we have, that's not a good idea either. So Baruch Hashem, so we're unhappy people. That's a madriga, it's a very good thing. Right? It's brought down, right? That person knows an aveira and he's totally comfortable with it. Person of Aaron, he has charata that he did it. So in Shemayim, that it's marked down as such. One chazay, he's biased me, man, no, Michael and Lloyd. Just the bush, the fact that I did it again. What's wrong with me? That's important. We want to have that madriga. Because if you do that Aaron, you're just comfortable with it. That's even worse. Husband says, I feel bad, I don't take out the garbage. That's better than saying, I don't care if I take out the garbage. So we want to get to the point where we want to take out the garbage. We want to take out the garbage. So we talk, the therapist talks to the husband and says, listen, understand something over here. This is not about garbage. This is about a relationship with your wife. And your wife happens to be a person that taking out the garbage is really important. Do you want the relationship with your wife? He says, yes, I do. He says, okay, sister, so what's my solution? Connect the garbage with the relationship. And teach yourself and remind yourself constantly that it's not about garbage, it's about a relationship. He says, oh, if he can do that, without getting involved in the deep, deep reasons why he's too lazy to take out the garbage. But once he ties it to something which is really valuable to him and he really wants, he'll take out the garbage. There'll be times he'll slip, and that's okay. You know. Because he has to tie it to something which is really something that he really wants. So you need to figure out what we really want out of life. If we know what we really want out of life, and we can connect Torah mitzvahs to what we really want out of life, we'll really want Torah mitzvahs. Part of our problem is we don't know what we really want out of life. And we don't know how to connect Torah mitzvahs to what we really want out of life. Interestingly enough, if we start thinking about mitzvahs in a different angle, sometimes they start automatically becoming more connected to us. There's a famous, I heard this idea from Rabbi Saul Miller, formerly Pittsburgh, now of Calgary. So if you look at the Rambam and Rav Hirsch about Tamei Mitzvahs, Rav Hirsch writes in his essays on Jewish symbolism, collected writings, volume 3, about Riches, what the definition of a symbol is. He says you have to learn the mitzvah, you have to know all of the protim of the mitzvah, you have to understand how the symbol, with all of its protim, represents an idea, and otherwise it's not a valid symbol. I can't see that the mitzvah, the tam of a mitzvah, is X when it doesn't fit into the protim of the mitzvah. Because the same way when I'm drawing a symbol for something, every single detail that I draw in the picture has to in some way connect to that item. So same thing when it comes to Tamei Mitzvahs. The Rambam in Mar Nebuchim, when he talks about Tamei Mitzvahs, he talks about different mitzvahs, gives a time for them. Excuse the word, he's very sloppy. He gives a reason why you do a mitzvah, and you know it fits like generally, conceptually, but once you look at the product of the mitzvah, it doesn't fit. And Rav Hirsch is really calling out when he doesn't call out the Rambam by name, but he's really calling out the Rambam that like that's not a Tamei Mitzvah. You can't understand a Tamei Mitzvah like that. So Rishim used to say like this. The Gifter used to say, Zich Lebrach, Rishim used to say that what's a Tama Mitzvah? What is the word? Tam means flavor. And Tam also means reason. So I go to a person and I say, listen, you know, imagine a world that all food was tasteless. It had zero flavor. Every food, there'd be a little petic next to it, would tell you how many carbohydrates, how many proteins, how much fat, how many vitamins, how many minerals. But there's no flavor. And you're given a list in the morning. Every morning you'd have a list by the doctor, would tell you exactly how much you have to eat all these things, and you'd eat. Well, what happens to most of mankind? They'd probably die from starvation. Because it has no flavor. We eat because it tastes good. Now, the reality of the reason why food keeps sustains is not because of the flavor. The flavor has zero to do with how it sustains us. It sustains us because of the carbohydrates and because of the proteins and because of the fat and the vitamins and the minerals. All is good to zachar. A mitzvah, the impact that a mitzvah has on a human being is way beyond our mind to comprehend. It's like how the carbohydrates work and how the protein. I have no idea. It works. It's irrelevant how it works. It works. The reason I put it in my mouth is because it tastes good. The time of a mitzvah is the hechatimsa to get the mitzvah into your mouth. That's all it's for. I have to find a time which makes you interested in wanting to do this. It makes you desire it. So that's the purpose of a time of mitzvah. Once that's there, how it works is irrelevant. Because that's not my goal. Because I'm not going to sit there and explain to you Kabbalistically, and now you want to do the mitzvah. That's not going to work. I say, when you do this mitzvah, you're a good person, and you want to be a good person because you feel good when you do good things. Because people feel good when they do good things, and saying thank you is a very nice thing. And a bracha is saying thank you. The bracha, the details can't just mean thank you; it must be more because the details and halachas. That's Rav Hirsch's kasha. The Rambam says, forget about the kasha. Stop it. That's not our goal over here. We're not trying to figure out rocket science. We're trying to figure out how the five-year-old wants to eat the ice cream cone. We're five-year-olds. That's all we need to do is eat the ice cream cone. You know what? We're trained and we understand that that gratitude is a good thing. And when we don't say thank you, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes to say thank you, we feel bad about it. Because we get that deep down, it's not a nice thing to just take. We want to be perceived as givers. The person says, you know what? I'm going to get an opportunity to be a giver. Say Birchas Hamazon. Wow. Such a nice thing to say Birchas Hamazon. If I can absorb that benching is saying thank you, and that I'm a good person when I say thank you, I want a bench. I don't like, you know, we don't like asking for directions. We're men, right? You know, but we do want to know where to go. You know, so I'll just figure it out as I go along. You know, most of us, you know, when all else fails, read the directions, right? We know that eventually the best way sometimes to figure out the computer is to read the directions. If I understand learning Gemara, learning Torah is getting directions, it's getting guidance. Maybe I'm interested in it. Maybe I'm not interested in it. Right now I don't want guidance. Okay, so create a different marshal. That's all the realm we're trying to do. What we need to do is understand we like things to work out nicely. We want to be happy. So how does Torah make you happy? How does Torah make you content? So we need to remind ourselves about life. Maybe that's the solution. There's different mashalim of how to do this. The purpose of a mashal is to create a picture. We relate to pictures. We're back to advertising. I saw a Gabaldigal mashal, right? Fellow's living in an apartment, and his, right? Contract is up in three weeks. He has to move out. Good. So you meet him in the hallway. A week later, 2 weeks left. And you see he's carrying buckets of paint. They're going up the stairs. He says, so what are you doing? He says, painting the apartment. He says, so what, the owner hired you? He says, no, I'm doing it myself. He says, but you know you're out in 3 weeks. He says, yeah, I don't want to think about, you know, the future. Right now you have to focus on the present. That's a picture. We create a picture in our mind that's like, you know, that's ridiculous. The nimshal is obvious. The contract is up. I don't know. 3 weeks, a year, 5 years, 10 years. It's not a very long period of time. So why am I painting this world so wonderfully? Is that what I really want? You ask the guy, do you really want to paint it for the owner when you're leaving? He says, no, I don't want that. I really don't want that. So I really want to do something for myself. So we need to train ourselves to understand that it's for ourselves. The tournaments are for us. We will benefit from them. And we need to stop and think about how we benefit from them. We need to stop and think about the ones which we have difficulty with, how we can put them in terms that they become valuable to us, they become meaningful to us, they become something which you understand that's what we really want. And all of them are in context of a relationship. And that's the best way to put them into context. And that's what Rosh Hashanah does for us. Rosh Hashanah says, you have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't talk about the details yet, because that's not the point. It's a relationship which there's Malchus in it. There's also an Avinu in it. There's a care and loving father. And he doesn't want you to continue like this, the way it's going, because it's not healthy for you. It's the therapist talking to the husband and says, you know, you love your wife, you need to change, because it's not, you're going to lose your wife. It's not about garbage. It's about your relationship with your wife. Then we'll talk about, okay, so what details do you need to do to make sure that you stay with your wife? Okay, we'll talk about the protein. Each person has a different nusach of how that talks to him, and there's different tikkufos of life. What talks to a 18-year-old is different than what talks to a 50-year-old. The guy talks about this different tekufas. The tekufa with taiva is stronger. So how can I express positive elements of taiva in avodas Hashem? How can I express positive elements of kavod in avodas Hashem? That's for somebody older. And each person has their own share of it. But if we can absorb that we have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's something which we value, and these are all about the relationship, then we're touching into the reality of tshuva back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ad Hashem Elokecha. It's not about protein, it's about Ad Hashem Elokecha. It's about a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our lives will be more meaningful if we have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we can absorb these lessons about the purpose of life, about what I want to do with my life, what I want to do with my life, what I want the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants for me for my life. I can absorb these lessons of Ratzon, what my Ratzon really is. I can start addressing that these things are part of my Ratzon, my true Ratzon. I will then change them. That is true about Ad Hashem Elokecha.